Greetings, fellow seekers, and welcome to The Global Entity, a blog, a movement, and now, finally, a podcast. Almost 2 years ago, I decided to uproot my life in Sweden to search for my purpose in life. Since then, I have been slow traveling Africa and sharing it through writing. I am Julia, your messy philosophical friend who believes that everyone has a purpose, and here I am searching for mine. By sharing my journey, I hope to ignite the spark of possibility within you, dear listener, because living through the heart isn't necessarily about dancing under the African sky. It's about embracing the wild, untamed beauty of your own existence. So hit that follow button and subscribe, because trust me, you won't want to miss a beat. Without further ado, let's dive into today's post. Exploring Observatory, Airbnbs and Gentrification in Cape Town. Obsessed with Observatory, Cape Town's quirky neighborhood. After the dance festival finished, it was time for me to move to a new area in Cape Town, Observatory, OBS. I love OBS. I've stayed here almost every time I visited Cape Town because it's just so cozy. Not only are there houses and street art pieces all around OBS perfectly framed by Table Mountain in the horizon. No, OBS is a whole community in a fairly tiny space, which makes it accessible. What I appreciate most about this neighborhood is its bustling mini-city center. In the middle of OBS, along the lower main road, the cafes, restaurants, bars, thrift shops, local designer stores, and antique stores are piled on top of each other. At nighttime, there are even a fair few clubs that are open. I think it's safe to say that I could probably live in this neighborhood for a few months at the time without feeling the need to go anywhere else. Post-festival bliss was quickly exchanged for post-festival fever. As soon as I stepped foot into my new Airbnb, I could feel the inflammation taking over my body. I succumbed to 3 days of fever where my only resort was to sleep. To be sick while I'm living in a stranger's home was more than a little bit uncomfortable. Not because my host was anything but empathetic and helpful and generous, but because it wasn't my space and I felt disgusting and guilty for bringing germs into his home. Oh well, it's part of life. At least my new host has absolutely adorable animals watching over me and giving me love. It is amazing how animals have the ability to make such a huge difference in one's existence, how their mere presence and attention can lift my energy and make me feel cared for, seen even. I love animals. The Airbnb effect, gentrification and tourism in South Africa. In my fever haze, I started reflecting about the correlation between gentrification and Airbnbs. Furthermore, how this correlation takes effect in the specific context of South Africa. I remember distinctly that OBS is a student area, but looking at the rental prices today, I find it hard to see how a student could afford OBS prices. If we start from the first two components, gentrification and Airbnbs, it is easy to see how the possibility of earning a larger profit of short-term tourist rentals affects the prices, but also the availability of long-term rentals for locals. In other words, the individual economic earnings that come with the Airbnb business model incentivize homeowners and landlords to turn their otherwise long-term rentals into short-term tourist rentals, with tourist prices, of course. This gradually increases the prices of the local housing markets, eventually making it impossible for locals to afford living in the area. So meanwhile, the homeowners and landlords are making individual profits. They do so on the behalf of the locals' possibility of affording accommodation. The other effect of the Airbnb effect is that an increase of easily accessible and affordable tourist accommodations in an area will most likely increase tourism in that area. This does push up the prices of the local housing market, as previously stated, but it also increases potential and actualization as there are new external clients, the tourists coming into the area with their purchasing power. However, who is it that profits? Who is it that profits from the tourist business revenues, from the Airbnb business models, and affordable tourist rentals? Somehow, I don't feel it's the locals. This is where the third aspect becomes extra critical, the aspect of South Africa being the context. Apartheid's connection to today's gentrification in Cape Town. As I have mentioned briefly in another post, between 1948 to 1994, South Africa suffered almost 50 years of apartheid governing.
the governing through racial segregation. It is now 29 years since apartheid fell, but the consequences and aftermath of it lives on in both individuals and structures. One of the structural consequences of apartheid, as well as the history of colonialism previous to the apartheid rule, concerns housing and land ownership. During apartheid, people were divided into races, black-colored, Indians, and whites. This was not just a categorization stamped onto your ID. It was the basis for where you were allowed to work, live, and be. The apartheid regime declared many areas all-white areas and forced everyone who was not categorized as white to forcibly move. Their previous homes were demolished to make space for the apartheid regime's constructions and plans. Despite there being talk since 1994 about restoring land and homes to those who were forcibly removed during apartheid, not much has happened on that topic since. Today, the majority of those forcibly removed in Cape Town live in what is classified as townships, like the Cape Flats, commonly known for its notorious gangsterism, poverty, and lack of infrastructure. Inequality reinvented, the intersection of gentrification, Airbnbs, and apartheid legacies in South Africa. During the apartheid regime, Observatory was known as a grey area, meaning it was mixed-race neighborhood and not a one-race area. Our brief review of South Africa's recent history of apartheid is essential to understanding the devastating consequences of the Airbnb effect and gentrification going on in Observatory today. Land and slash or home ownership equals resources. Yeah? Resources in the form of everyday stability as well as economical opportunities such as Airbnb rentals. Home and land ownership not only enables, but is the cornerstone for building generational wealth. Who in South Africa can actually afford to buy property today? Especially in the city, you know? Who already has everything in place to start up an Airbnb? Due to South Africa's current division of land being based on racist events and structures, the Airbnb effect can be seen to further increase socioeconomical injustices existing in the country. Structurally, it's not easy for somebody stripped of their land and home to create wealth. I'm not talking about the excessive kind of bougie wealth, but rather the wealth of not living with economic stress. It is worth pointing out that the ones who are suffering today due to the Airbnb effect, like race trends, are the same demographics of people who suffered oppression during the apartheid. Outside of the South African context, you can also see this economic structure of how the rich become richer. Meantime, socioeconomically vulnerable groups struggle, sometimes their whole lives, without achieving a stable economy, buying a fair home, or starting a business like an Airbnb rental. For a neighborhood like Observatory, that is known for providing affordable and accessible student housing, central, these processes are detrimental for the locals. What is a sustainable traveler? So what does this mean for me? I now see how the benefits I get from renting an Airbnb are contributing to a larger structural problem. Even though I personally don't own any stolen land, or any land at all for that matter, I'm still contributing and enabling destructive racist and economically biased structures. That is not what I want. Definitely not. Especially not now that this, traveling, is supposed to be my new normal, my life. I want to travel in a more sustainable way. In a way that does not exploit. Can we travel sustainably? Is tourism evil? Is tourism exploitative by nature or design? Should I stop traveling now? I've already booked a few Airbnbs for the last 2 weeks of December, but after that I am taking a break from Airbnbs to look at some other, hopefully more sustainable accommodation alternatives. This is a learning process and I'm happy to share it with you. Let me know what major changes you've been implementing in your traveling lately. All right, guys, that was it for today. As some of you know, this blogcast is part of a larger travel platform that specializes in festivals and social sustainable tourism. If you want to check it out and join our community and get the latest news, the link to theglobalentity.com is in the bio. There you can also find my email address. If you have something to say, something to share, or maybe give me a tip, send me a few lines and let me know what you think. If you enjoy this blogcast and want to support what I do, please give it a great rating on your podcast streaming platform. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, A Few Podcasts, and anywhere really where you get your podcasts. Have a great week and don't forget to dance.
Sound and tech production today was Tawanda Joseph Mutena. Author and producer is me, Julia Cervantes Anderson. See you next time.